maybe clearing my throat a lot this morning. I don't know why. Allergies, probably. I always love missions updates and to hear what God is doing in different people's hearts and minds as people pursue mission. And I love our church being a part of that. And, of course, we're continuing to, and you'll hear this when Scott gives the update, but we're going to be continuing to increase funding to the missions team and to our missions focuses across America and the world. And today, we're going to continue, like Bubba said, talking through core practices. We've done core values of the church that the elders and deacons kind of came together and prayed around, and now we're going into core practices that come out of many of those core values. And the one we're going to talk about today is pursuing gospel sharing. Pursuing gospel sharing. And in fact, we may end up talking about it next week too. I'm really believing that probably what God's given me is going to take 2 weeks, so we don't rush it, and I don't talk too fast, and that y'all will all rejoice in that, because I talk too fast, I understand. So I'm going to try to, maybe we might not get to everything, and we just do this into two sermons, but I want to talk about a very important topic, which is pursuing gospel sharing this morning. God, we just thank you that we have good news to share. We thank you that you have conquered death. We thank you and give our lives over to you and your Spirit's leading as we sung this morning. Overwhelm us with your presence. We're here for you and you alone, and we believe that you guide us and direct us, Father. And as you do that, you'll lead us unto each other and unto those who don't know you as well. We just ask you to own us and guide us this morning as we go forth to share the good news about you with other people. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to talk about pursuing gospel sharing. We're going to look at Romans 10 and Luke 10. So turn to Romans 10 real quick while I just kind of lead us a little bit further in. You know, one major thing to tell you is that God has adventures for you. We always think of the gospel as maybe something we share. It's a burden or whatever. But God has tremendous adventures for you, for me, for all of us in proclaiming his kingdom. And there's so many ways we can do that. And advancing his kingdom and sharing the good news of Jesus with other people, there's so many places where God wants to open doors for you to do things you could not ask or imagine that he would do if we'll take the risk to be on mission for him. And so that's the exciting thing, is that God actually has many adventures for you to see him move if you take that step of faith, that risk to share with others. I think of Philip and the Ethiopian this morning. In the book of Acts, which we studied for quite a while, we went through every chapter, and one of those chapters is one of the early deacons of one of the first churches there in Jerusalem, and he is going along his way, and God says, don't go that way. I'm going to interrupt your schedule, and I'm going to go this way. I want you to go over here and talk to this person, and he goes, and without getting into the details, you know, he goes over into a chariot in a different place than where he was originally heading, and God opens the door for him to share the gospel, the good news about Jesus and the salvation that Jesus brought with this Ethiopian leader from far away that Philip could have not possibly have known would have been there. And of course, that leader just so happens to be, God moment, right, reading the scripture. And Philip, and he says to Philip, how can I understand this unless somebody explains it to me? We better be glad that Philip changed what he was doing and went to where the Lord led him, because it was at that moment that Philip had that adventure to see God do something he couldn't have asked or imagined. Do you think Philip woke up that morning going, I'm going to see somebody who's one of the rulers of Egypt today come to know Jesus? I don't think he did. You know, I don't think it was on his schedule for that day. And did you think he would say, well, obviously that's going to happen because I'm going to walk up next to him in a chariot and they're already going to be reading the scripture and they're going to be reading a prophecy of Jesus? You know, no, God set that up for him. And the thing is that God wants to set up appointments like that for all of us, and he does, and we have to have eyes to see them. I think about even this week when I was in the Capitol meeting with different representatives, and I remember just being in a lot of their offices, but one in particular, I just went there and I felt God say, you need to pray for them, and we began to pray, and just the Spirit of God touched down in that representative's office, and with their chief of staff and this representative. And they said, she said, okay, so I gave away, at least you know as a female, but she said, and her chief of staff said, we have been praying today that God would show us that he was present here. And you came, and what you just prayed was exactly, you didn't even know it, but what you were being led to pray was exactly what God wanted to speak to us today. And we began to pray, and then they began to discuss with me how they've been thinking about taking the Perspectives course on world mission and all these things that had not come up in our conversation prior. Well, did I know that was going to happen? Absolutely not. But did God have an appointment? Absolutely true. So what is the gospel? The gospel is really simple. It's the good news of Jesus. The gospel is simply the word, and that means evangelion or good news, essentially. It's just, without getting into all the details for the sake of time, it means good news, right? It means that we're proclaiming something good. It's not a burden. It's not something we just have to feel obligated to do. It is good news of salvation for everyone who believes, and we'll get into that in just a minute. We're proclaiming something that's life or death, something that is healing. We're proclaiming Jesus coming, God coming in human form to save us from our own destruction, right? And to recreate the world unto the image that he originally made. That's what God did for us. And the great news is that we can't earn it, and he did it for us, even more so. It's not like at the end of the story of the good news is, here are the 8 things you must do in order to earn your way to God, right? That would be kind of good news and then bad news, because we would all fail. But this is good news from the beginning to the end, right? It is good news that God came to save us, and it's good news that it's his responsibility, and he's doing it, and it is by his blood that we're saved. It's all good news, right? And yes, part of that gospel is that we are sinners, that we are broken. But the good news is that he brought a way out of that brokenness, right? Who wouldn't want to proclaim that? We want to tell people there's freedom from slavery, right? We talk about in the modern day slavery and how bad it is, and it is. And what Jesus came was to ultimately free us from all slavery unto freedom, pursuing who he is, right? And saying to him, empowering us to be able to walk in the ways that he made us and made this earth so that everyone gets to be whom God created them to be. And there's no better place to be than to be who God has created you to be, right? And the world wants to warp us, warp our gifts, warp our perspectives, and do things that take our gifts and talents in the wrong direction. But God wants us to be led into his pathway. So the good news is not just salvation, but it's also unto being who God created you to be and fellowshipping with him in perfect harmony. So gospel sharing, I'll make a quick note on this before I move forward, is part of making disciples. But in the coming weeks, we will talk about another core value, which is making disciples. And they are together. Gospel sharing is the entry point, right? In some ways, it's when we're sharing the good news of Jesus. Making disciples is teaching people how to walk out what we just shared with them. And if we're going to draw a line there, you could just say they're really the same thing. But for the purpose of what we're talking about today, we're going to focus on gospel sharing. But I want you to know it's not all just sharing a piece of facts or things about Jesus. It's also walking with people so that they continue to follow him and obey him every day of their life. And so we'll talk about making disciples in the future weeks, but right now we're going to talk about the entry point, if you will, gospel sharing. Let's look at Romans chapter 10 this morning. And let's look down at verse 11. It says, "For the scripture says that whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for everyone, for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." That's the promise. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord. And here this morning, out in Bastrop, everywhere across the planet, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then verse 14 asks some very important questions for us this morning. As believers, those of us, if you've already embraced Christ into your life and said, "Father, I believe you've cleansed me from all sin, and I want to walk in obedience to you," then these questions are God's questions to you on this subject. It says, "How then, if this is true, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, everyone who turns to him, can be saved, then how will they call upon him whom they've not believed?" And then they ask another question, "How will they believe in him," verse 14, "whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher?" What's interesting is it kind of goes backwards. It starts off with the end result and gets down to the beginnings train of that. And the first question really is, how will they hear without a preacher? See, we have to speak to someone so that they can hear, and so that when they hear, that they can then believe. When you think about this in business, you call it trailing metrics and leading metrics. Trailing metrics are some ways the result of a leading metric. And we think oftentimes we've got to focus on, do people know Jesus or not? Have they heard the gospel? Or have they accepted, have they accepted Jesus? Or has that been happening? But what God calls us to in this passage is to remind us that the leading metric is whether we're sharing. Anyone who hears can then believe, but how can they believe or hear if there hasn't been a preacher or a person to share? And a preacher isn't how we think about in modern culture, like a pastor or a teaching elder, but a preacher is anyone, all of us, who are proclaiming Jesus in our daily lives. And so how can anyone ever believe in something that they've never heard about, and how can they ever hear about it unless somebody speaks it? You know, it was said that St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. You know what the problem with that is? He never said it. There's no historical analysis of him ever saying anything like that, and it's completely unbiblical. Romans 10 actually says that right here. We are reminded that God gave us a voice for a reason, and one of the reasons is to vocally proclaim facts and truths about Jesus. And yes, that has to match our actions. But actions alone are not what the scripture says. They're not a substitute. It's a false dichotomy to put those things against each other in scripture. God says, be both. Be proclaiming him in your actions and be proclaiming him in your words. To pit them against one another and say you have to choose one or the other is a false religious dichotomy. And it's the sort of things that Jesus called the Pharisees out for in scripture. God says to you and to me, hey, be about the actions of sharing the gospel and use your actions. But he also says, use your words. We do both. We don't have to choose one or the other. And it also has to be a complementary thing to it, and that is that we speak the word of God to other people. If you look at Romans 10, and if you look at this passage as a whole, and actually if you look at the examples of Paul and Barnabas and so on all throughout scripture, you see these sorts of things. Someone has to be sent to speak the gospel. People are already prepared. Their hearts are already ready. We'll see in just a minute. God is already active everywhere. The key leading metrics is whether we will share. So if we say, you know, no one's coming to know Jesus in our community, or I don't know about the hardness of this earth, we are missing what the leading metric is. The leading metric isn't the preparation of the earth. The leading metric is whether God's people are sharing. That's the leading metric. And if we will share, the word of God will get out, and the word of God will be effective. Listen to this. If we will share, right, the word of God will get out, and the word of God will be effective. Now, it'll be in his timing and his ways, but God tells us that as we speak his truth, then there will be fruit that comes forth from that. That's what's very important. The leading metric is whether or not we share, and we'll get right into that now, looking at Luke chapter 10. But looking at Romans 10 reminds us of these things. So let's demystify evangelism and look over at Luke chapter 10 for the rest of the morning, and look there. So this is the story of the sending of the 72. And I want to just cover a few quick things out of Luke 10 that hopefully demystifies evangelism or gospel sharing for us this morning. Because we put a lot of extra weight on it, like this is what we got to do, it's got to look like this way. And a lot of it sometimes is just religious culture, and it's not Jesus culture. And what we want is just, what I hope for you guys as a teaching elder is just to free us up to, within our personalities and our giftings, share the truths of Jesus and the way that God made each of us so that we're proclaiming him without feeling a weight that we don't necessarily have to feel to go forth and just tell other people about his good news, right? So let's look at that in Luke chapter 10. This is where he's sending out 70 or 72 of his disciples ahead of him into cities. I'll read it in full. I don't usually do this, but I want to do this morning. It says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, hey, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, they are few. That sound like Romans 10, like I was just discussing. Therefore, ask the Lord or beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go, Jesus says. Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Not very encouraging. Carry no belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one along the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Now stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give to you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Don't keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter, when they receive you, eat what is set before you. heal those who are in it, who are sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they don't receive you, go out into the streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, Jesus says, the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than you. And you, Capernaum, will you not be exalted to heaven? Which, by the way, Capernaum was Jesus' home base in the Bible. And you, Capernaum, will you not be exalted to heaven? Will you? No, you will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. And then the 70 returned with joy. So they've now come back. There's a pause, a gap there between 16 and 17. And they return and they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. And at that very time, he rejoiced greatly. Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Some versions say he was filled with the Spirit. And said, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent, but revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this was well-pleasing in your sight. So let's take a quick look at that as we've read through it. I'm going to just ask questions and answer them as we think through this passage and demystify evangelism. One thing is to say, you know, gospel sharing isn't just sharing specific facts with strangers. Because we kind of boil it down to that. It feels awkward. It's hard. Okay, do I have my facts right? Do I have this? But it isn't just sort of a specific set of verses or a specific set of facts. It's simply sharing the good news. And there's a bazillion different scriptures you can use. There's a billion different ways you can share the good news that Jesus came to earth, that God came to earth in the form of a man named Jesus, and that he died for someone's sins, everyone's sins, and that if people will receive him, that his death cleanses them and pays for their sin, and therefore they can live free if they'll accept him, forgiven of sin, and be fully who God made them to be, not condemned, but living before God, free of his judgment. And so there's a lot of ways we can say that. A lot of ways we say the world is broken. God set it up right the first way with Adam and Eve. We broke it. It's gotten more broken since. And God came to earth and from the beginning of time onward has been working to bring redemption back, to take his creation back to where he originally had them. He wants to bring us back to life and life abundantly rather than death and destruction, right? He wants to give us to a place where we will live eternally with him without sickness, sin, dying, mourning, or pain, or loss, because that is how he created us. Right? And we broke it, and he's got a way out. And the gospel is, his way out is him. Right? Not us, which is great, because we will fail, but he succeeds. Our salvation lines on him. So there's so many ways we can share the gospel. It isn't just this sort of religious sharing of certain points. Now, can we use tracts? Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that. Can we use tools and ways to do it? Absolutely. But my encouragement to you is don't feel like you have to share just like somebody else did. Share the way that God leads you. And maybe you might go through scripture and pick out certain verses that help you share. Encourage you to do that. We'll talk about that probably next week. But just to say, God wants you to share the good news of him and the way he made you. So there are lots of ways you can share. So let's look at this. Whose harvest is it in this passage? God's. Exactly. I love that. You answered it. That's wonderful. Thank you. And if you want to answer, that'd be awesome. I'm good for that. So God's. You're absolutely correct. It is God's harvest. The harvest is plentiful. It says it is his harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Verse 2. So the harvest, and what is the harvest? The harvest is the reaping, like you would just say as a farmer. You reap the things that you sow out in the field. Jesus is using that same analogy and saying, people want to know who I am. That's what he's saying. He's saying, you may look out there and see that the world is hard, but there's a harvest out there. And the harvest, he says, is what? What is the harvest? Is it plentiful or lacking? Plentiful. So the harvest is plentiful. The harvest, Jesus says, isn't the problem. The harvest isn't the problem, right? He says it's plentiful and it belongs to him, right? He's in control of what's going on out there with all that tough stuff. But what does he say? What is lacking? The workers. This is from the mouth of Jesus. So if you get mad, don't get mad at me. Get mad at Jesus, I guess. Right? The problem is not the harvest. That's plentiful and that belongs to him. It's already there. It is plentiful and ready. The problem is the workers. The leading metric is we don't share. We don't go out and take risk. And Jesus says, if you will do that, the harvest is plentiful. You're going to find it. He's telling the disciples, listen, I send you out like lambs among wolves, but go because the harvest is plentiful. And it belongs to me. And ask me to send out laborers into the harvest, he says, because I own it. So what is lacking is the workers. And how do we fix the lacking in our lives around us? What are the ways we can do it? We can ask God, he says here in this passage. It says in verse 2, ask the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest. So we can ask God for him to send out laborers. That's a prayer you know God will answer because he says to ask him in this passage, right? And then the second thing it says, we can go. And so we want to ask God and go. Look at the next section, another section in this passage. Were these men trained? Do you think they were gospel seminary, whatever, trained, and they knew all the right answers? No, this is early in Jesus' ministry, and even later in his ministry, guys like Peter, who are some of the closest guys, are saying crazy things. They don't understand all the things going on, but yet Jesus sent them out, not fully, quote, prepared and 5 years of mission training and all these things. He sent them out because he knew that part of the discipleship for them was facing risk, was dealing with uncertainty, and saying to them, what you have, being filled with me is all you need. I will lead you through your mistakes and your ups and downs. Just go out into these cities. So these men weren't trained. We don't have to be 100% trained or know all the answers. All we have to do is go with God, trust him, and give what we have and share what we have. And that's what we see happening here. So as we move forward and look at this, did they go as individuals? No, they didn't go out as lone rangers and just kind of going to do my own thing. They went in pairs. Jesus sent them in pairs to these towns that he was about to go. So Jesus was about to go to these towns, a variety of places around Israel, and he sends them out in teams of two ahead of him to sort of prepare the way and proclaiming his gospel. And so he sends them out as pairs, and they're working together. So one of the things we can do is work together to share the gospel, right? We don't have to have it all on our own. God doesn't necessarily expect that from us. He wants us to work as a team to proclaim him, and that happens in all kinds of ways that we can pair up in neighborhoods or in areas where we serve in the community in different ways to share the gospel. So who was following up behind them? I just kind of led that one. That's Jesus, right? So remember that Jesus is following behind or even going ahead of us where he sends us because it is his harvest. And if you look further, was there risk involved? Yes, yes. What's verse 3 say? Go ahead. Huh? That's right. He says, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves, right? Lambs, we're the lambs. And then out in the midst of wolves or this potential place, there's a lot of risk involved. So if we think that sharing the gospel should necessarily be riskless or we should pursue a safe life, that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is that if we will take the risk to share with other people, we will see his deliverance, we'll see his protection, and even when we see difficulty, we see martyrs on earth and other things, he will continue to advance his kingdom. That the best place we can be is taking risks on mission with him. And in fact, when we don't do that, sometimes we feel stale inside. Because we know a lot of things, but we're not exercising what we know. And in the natural realm, when you have a lot of intake of calories and you don't use it, what happens? You get fat, right? We get out of weight. You know, that happened to me with COVID. I gained a bunch of pounds. I didn't act as much out. And the thing is true, though, in the spiritual realm, if we know a lot of things and we don't sort of take risks on mission, then we're not exercising that which we know. And it leaves us kind of sometimes feeling empty and undiscipled. And God is saying, I have so many adventures for you. I have so many places that I want to show you how powerful I am and how much I want to deliver you and show you how I'm active around you. And he's just waiting for us to take that step of risk to share, to proclaim him. And he meets us on the other side. And so many times, I know in my life, and y'all probably seen it too, where when you take that risk, that step of faith, to share him with other people in word and in deed, he comes through on the other side in ways we didn't think he would or didn't expect that he would, just like for Philip. And he'll do that for each one of us. And when he does that, some of you have experienced that, maybe others haven't, but wherever you are on that spectrum, when he does that, it what? Builds our faith. If you want to have your faith grow personally, take risk for him on mission. If you feel like you're not prepared, remember these guys in Luke 10. They weren't prepared either. But in the midst of their unpreparedness, God sent them out to do that. And so that's a way to get out of our ruts by risking. We sometimes think we have to have it all together before we can share with others, but that's not clear. And that's clearly not true in Luke 10 here. So if you look, did he send them out with any provisions? No. Why would he send them out with no provisions? Well, the answer is so that they would learn to depend solely on him. They needed to reap the harvest in order to be provided for. The resources were actually in the harvest. They were to go to someone's house and share, and as they shared, that person who received God in that town would provide for them. Were they to do anything on the way for the town? No, Jesus says, stay focused. Don't go here or there. Go straight to the town. Sometimes in life, we can get so focused on so many other things that we're in the midst of our life and God is giving us all these opportunities and we're zooming right by them because we are focused on the other things that we get distracted by. And so God tells them to be focused. They were to stay in this one house and build from a person who was receptive. So that's what they were to do second once they got there, was to find someone who's a person of peace. You know, God doesn't necessarily say to us that everyone will be accepting of his message. When we share, some people are going to reject it. That's in the scripture here. Some people will reject it. Expect it. That's okay. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting the Lord. And we're just there to proclaim him to see who does receive, who is a person of peace, who does express interest. And when they do, we press in there because we see that's where God wants to start. So if you're in a community in your neighborhood or in your business or with a group of people that you hang out with, and you're wondering, where do I start? Then begin proclaiming the gospel. And when you see someone who's somewhat receptive or who there's a moment with, that is God's cue to you that of all the places and people that he might want to start with in that group of people, that's where he wants you to start. See, that's why these people knew which home to go to. When the person of peace received them into their home, they knew that was where God wanted to build his kingdom from in that community. We always have to have a place to start. So look for people of peace. I'm noticing it is now 12, and I'm not through this, so I will definitely move to next week, and we'll finish out the Luke 10, because there's a lot more good things in Luke 10 for us. I want to give you a quick homework assignment as we think about continuing this next week. I want you to pick three people in your life as you think through it and say, Lord, put people on my mind. Pick three people and whom you want to pray for and whom you want to try to share the good news of Jesus with in different ways. Just find them, write them down, and begin praying for them, asking the Lord of the harvest to send you to them, asking the Lord of the harvest to send other laborers to them, and begin to see what God does. And then I want you to, if you haven't done this ever, maybe write out on a piece of paper a minute or a two-minute story that's your personal sort of testimony. It doesn't have to be your whole life. It could just be something that God's done good for you, that you've seen him bring, and as you follow him in salvation, that he's done in your life that conveys to other people the goodness of God. So write that down and maybe even a little bit about how that relates to the goodness of God and kind of memorize it in your head. Some of you might want to memorize the exact words. Others might just keep it down so that you're prepared when you have the opportunity to share with those three people, to share something personal from your life, maybe a scripture that God puts on your mind. But in other words, two assignments really. Find three people, write them down. You don't have to tell anybody else if you don't want, or you can. And then also think through and write through and be proactive and thinking through what in your story conveys the gospel to other people. And then ask God to merge your story with those two or three people that are on your list. Do that as homework this week. We'll get back to the last part of Luke 10 as we move forward next week in sharing the gospel and thinking about this very important topic. Because what we do in church and ecclesia isn't just about us. It's about God's advancing kingdom in the community. But what's wild about it is he gives us the opportunity to participate with them. And as we take those risks beyond these four walls, he actually disciples us in the midst of that risk in ways that we won't be discipled if we don't take the risk. So it's not just there's no guilt here. It's like an engaging, awesome opportunity to grow in your own faith, right? As much as we need to grow amongst each other, we grow when we're on mission together and taking those risks. So I want to encourage you in that. And think of a vision of Bastrop County, right? And maybe beyond that, depending on where your sphere of influence is. But think of a vision for our county where it is possible for every man, woman, and child to be exposed to the presence and message of Jesus. You know, Paul talked about it in the books of Acts. He said, I am free of all guilt. He actually says this in another part of Scripture. And it says in the church of Ephesus in that passage that the gospel spread widely throughout Asia and it was known everywhere. And so the point is that the good news of Jesus can be known throughout our community. And every person can have the opportunity to know him. And imagine a future where people are increasingly coming to know Jesus and increasingly changing their lives. Marriages are being changed. Friendships are being changed. All of these things as God shakes us and molds us. It's an awesome opportunity for us as a team to press forward in proclaiming his name. You know, it was a group that was maybe no bigger than this in the beginning of many of these churches in the New Testament that shook these towns that they were in because they were committed to proclaiming the good news of Jesus and pursuing gospel sharing. So God, we thank you, Father, for your kingdom. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, we feel weak. We confess that we need you every day. We are not adequate apart from you. We thank you that you bring your righteousness into our lives. And we ask you, Father God, to give us strength to go forth and proclaim you, Lord, in small and big ways, in common conversations, in public, wherever it may be, to proclaim your goodness in prayers, all the different ways we can do that. And we ask you to reap your harvest in Bastrop County and beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name. One last thing, if you haven't accepted Christ today, if you're sitting here going, you know, I've never come to a place where I've said, God, I want you to be in charge. God, I need you. I have sinned. I've done things that are wrong, that sin against you, and I want your salvation. Then my encouragement to you this morning is to come to me. Go to any one of our other elders. We got Scott, Bubba's here, Troy's over there. And go to any one of us and just say, I want to know more about how I can get right with God. And what's great about it is that God has provided a way for you. You don't have to go that way. Jesus came, died for our sins, so that we can walk in newness of life if we will receive him. We can receive his full salvation and be cleansed of all past sins, present sins, and future sins. And if you'd like to walk in freedom before a living God to fulfill the destiny that God's made you, if you haven't done that, whether you've been in this church for decades or whether you just got here this morning, there is absolutely nothing but rejoicing in the King's heart, right? As we read here, for those who turn to him. And so, Lord, we just ask you for full salvation in everyone's life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.